Hey y'all, welcome to Catch These Vibes podcast. This is Charmonique and you're listening to episode 56. Now, I'm not gonna lie, this episode was recorded a couple months ago. My friend and I decided to do a true crime dedicated episode via the phone. So the audio is a little bit messed up on some parts. I ain't gonna even lie. It is, but for the most part, you can understand clearly what's being said. And hopefully you guys like these type of episodes because I love true crime. She loves true crime. So we are planning on doing episodes like this more. But yeah, so this is our true crime dedicated episode. I hope you guys enjoy it. Let me know what you think by leaving a review. Hit me up on social media, Catch These Vibes. And yeah, hope you like it. Talk to you soon. Our topic for this episode is going to be true crime. And this was her idea. So do you want to go first, Miss Thane?
Yes, I guess I can go first. My name is Tunisia, by the way. And I have a big struggle with being open. So, and I have a struggle with taking stuff seriously too. So I'm just trying not to be goofy right now, especially with this topic, because I don't want people thinking I'm crazy and I enjoy murder mysteries, even though the stories behind it are not good, but you know, it's entertaining to see, you know, what these stories actually are. Yeah, and it's kind of taboo in a sense when you like talk about murder and say that you enjoy it. Like I like murder mystery. You know, I had my murder mystery birthday party because I thought that was going to be fun.
Yes, and it was.
So, it's interesting. And if I get goofy, please forgive me. I don't mean to disrespect any of the victims or anything like that.
Yes, please forgive us.
Alrighty. So, I'm going to be doing the murder of Lisa Renee, who was a 16-year-old immigrant from Virgin Islands. She moved to the United States with her sisters and her brother Neil and Stanfield, and they migrated from Virgin Islands to Arlington, Texas, September 24th, 1994. So she was 16, she was a student, she honor roll student, got straight A's, she wanted to be a doctor. One day she was home alone in her apartment. She lived in the apartment with her sister, but her two older brothers, they actually got kicked out of their place because, you know, they was doing some illegal activities. They were selling drugs, landlord found out. So they were actually crashing there with the sisters. And she was home alone. She heard a banging on the door, heard somebody open up, this FBI. She thinks it's weird, so she gets on the phone, she calls her sister, like, there's some people at the door, I don't know what's going on, they're claiming they're FBI. Her sister tells her to hang up and immediately call 911. So she hangs up, she calls 911, she's on the phone with 911. The 911 operator is asking her what's going on. She tells her there's somebody at the door saying that they're FBI. As she's on the phone with the operator, you can hear the sliding door open, like break open the glass, and then you hear the guys coming in. It's the FBI, it's the FBI. You hear her screaming. The operator's asking her what's going on, what's going on. Then after that, nothing.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, she was abducted. So, like really shortly after, her sister came back home to see what's going on a little too late. Even the cops arrived a little too late. As the cops are coming in, they actually passed the kidnappers.
Wow. It's stuff like that makes me so mad. So,
yeah, it makes me very angry. It's just like, if they were just like a minute or two earlier, like they could have stopped it.
I feel like I've never heard of this. But then again, maybe I have and I just don't remember. What year is this?
So I haven't heard of this. This was
Okay.
94. I haven't heard of this, but there was something recently happened that got me interested in it, so that's
Okay.
why I wanted to take a look.
Gotcha.
So, yes. So by the time the cops got there, they were already gone. They had to do the investigation of the crime scene, ask neighbors about everything that was going on. They didn't leave any prints behind because they were wearing gloves. All they pretty much knew is that they were wearing camouflage and they were driving in a champagne Cadillac. So the cops got in touch with the brothers to see, if they knew anything, and they were away, maybe about 40 minutes away, and at a concert, they said. They said they had no idea, what's going on. They wouldn't imagine anyone who would want to do that. Just nothing like that. So the FBI actually took over the case because she was a minor and they were impersonating FBI agents. So the FBI got into it and they were able to locate the Cadillac because somebody sent a tip in actually that the Cadillac was somewhere. And they thought that that was unusual that somebody sent that tip in. And it was actually from the two older brothers. So supposedly they said that they drove by and they just happened to see a champagne Cadillac in front of someone's house. So the cops was like, okay, is something they not telling? So the police, they ended up going to the house. Somebody answered the door and they actually asked if they could search the premises. And she allowed them. So they checked in the rooms, they checked, in the kids' rooms, they even looked upstairs in the attic, but they didn't have a warrant, so they couldn't dig deep into nothing. So they just had to, do a quick look, quick scan. And then they didn't find anything. Later on, the brothers, they actually ended up confessing that they had a drug deal that went bad. So basically, what they were supposed to do, they were given $5,000 by someone named Steve and another man who said they didn't know. And then they were supposed to get 9 pounds of weed and come back in an hour, but they never came back. So they ended up taking the money, never giving them the weed, lied and said that they were robbed. So that went bad. So basically, the guy Stephen Beckley. Hold on, I lost my train of thought. I need to drink the water.
It's a lot of information trying to, because you want to make sure you get everything.
Yeah, leave. You gotta get all the details because if you leave something out,
Right.
that's important to the story.
It's all right. We new to this. We new to this. It's our first time doing this.
New to this, but not true to this, is all I know. All right, so okay, yeah, so the guy that they ended up stealing from, his name was Steve Beckley, and he actually had no criminal history. He worked just like a regular dude. And then for the Cadillac owner, he was actually at work the night when they did the search, so he didn't know that that was going on. But he actually ended up coming into the police station on September 27th, because he believed that he had some information about the kidnapping. So the day before the kidnapping happened, his wife had her brothers come and visit. Her brothers' names were Orlando Hall and Demetrius Hall, and they were like involved in drugs and selling drugs and all that. And they were actually friends with Stephen Beckley, which was the guy who they were supposed to give the 9 pounds of weed to. So the Cadillac owner actually said that the brothers were dressed in camouflage, so that made him suspicious because he had heard that the kidnappers were dressed in camouflage and they were driving a champagne Cadillac, so he just put two and two together. and basically coming to tell on the brothers. Let's see.
Yeah, we're doing this virtually, by the way, so we're not together. So that is another added layer to this being new.
Yes. It's kind of awkward,
Yes.
but it's kind of like we're on the phone.
Yes,
So
that's true.
I'm just, it's a lot of information to get out there, but you can chime in whenever you want to ask me some clarifying questions. So the Cadillac owner, he actually disclosed that the brothers were no longer staying at his house, that they went to El Dorado, Arkansas. And in Arkansas, these brothers, they were known, like, they was always into shit. They was some bad kids, always into drugs and going to jail all the time. So they were well known to police. Back in Texas, they finally got a warrant to search the house that they went to initially, and they found a bat that had glass fragments in it, so they suspected that that's what was used to bust the window open or the sliding door open. They also found camouflage pants. They also tested some insulation that was in the attic for like hair and stuff like that. But even like after they searched everything, it still didn't give them any leads to where Lisa actually was. And they also searched the Cadillac to see like if there was like any evidence in there, but they didn't come back with anything. So because of like the evidence that they gathered, like the camouflage pants, the bat, they were able to arrest Steve and Demetrius. And they also said when they got arrested, they said that there was a fourth man involved, and his name was Bruce Webster, and he was a known hitman. So what they planned on doing together was going to get revenge on the brothers for stealing the money, basically. So they're trying to go back to them, and either get their money back or kill him. But when they actually ended up going to the apartment, nobody was there with Lisa, so they changed the plan and they just decided to kidnap her.
Okay.
So they're like, either ways, he's gonna end up paying. Somebody's gonna pay.
So basically, they were trying to do something else, and then they ended up kidnapping her. So she was just like collateral damage.
Basically, yeah, she's completely innocent. She just got caught in the crossfire at the time. They didn't want to wait. They just decided we're just gonna kidnap her. So where am I? All right, so Stephen Beckley, which was the original person that they robbed, Bruce Webster, which was the hitman that they called, and Demetrius Hall, which was another set of brothers, the ones with the camo and the Cadillac. They actually drove to Arkansas with Lisa in the car, and the other camo brother, Orlando, stayed in Texas. And the whole time, he was actually hiding in the attic. So when the cops went upstairs and they flashed around, they were looking around, they didn't see anyone because he was actually hiding in the insulation in the attic.
Oh, wow.
So the whole time they missed him. The cops missed him initially when they first drove off with him, and now they missed Orlando because he was hiding in the insulation. They didn't check in there. So that pissed me off. I was like, So yeah, when they were driving to Arkansas with Lisa, basically they just took turns passing around, raping her the whole time. Each taking their turn, and then they ended up booking a motel in Arkansas, and they just put her in the bathroom, tied her up, gagged her so no one can hear her screaming. And what else happened here? So the two that ended up getting arrested, they actually were interrogated and they gave up where to look for Bruce. So they pretty much told the cops where the hotel was and where they had kept Lisa the entire time. And when the cops got there, they ended up seeing that the room was clean. So they already cleaned the fingerprints and everything. So there was like very little evidence that she was there. But they did end up finding her handprint on the bathroom wall. So they were able to determine that Lisa was in that room. But while they were staying in the room, they start getting noise complaints from their music and stuff. And security came up to the door. Security did look in there, but he didn't see Lisa. So he just left them alone. And then after that, they got scared and they decided to move to another hotel. After they went to another hotel, they got scared again and they decided that they need to get rid of Lisa. So they ended up going out and digging a ditch, digging a grave to put her in. But because it was so dark, when they came back to get Lisa and put her in the grave, they couldn't find it. So they had to wait until the next morning. So they went back the next morning and they ended up hitting her in the head with a shovel because she tried to run away. And then they threw her in the ditch and just basically buried her alive. So,
they clearly had no idea what they was doing.
None. They were just like, okay, well, we're just gonna do this. I don't know, it just made no sense. So what else happened?
So when they were interrogated and they told them where Bruce was, and that led them to the hotel, but they had already left.
They were already gone. So by the time the cops ended up getting to the hotel, they were too late. They were already gone from that hotel and at another hotel. And then they were told eventually about the second hotel. By the time they got to the second hotel, they actually did run into Bruce. And Bruce had a female with him, but it wasn't Lisa. And so basically they were asking him what he was doing. And he was just like, nothing. I'm just at a motel, taking a lady to a motel. But they searched the vehicle and he had drugs on him, so they were actually able to take him in. So they ended up taking Bruce in, and they actually ended up telling them what they did eventually. So basically, yeah, they kidnapped her, raped her, and killed her for $5,000. And so it was four of them, two brothers, Demetrius Hall and Orlando Hall. They were both arrested. Demetrius, he only got 25 years because he accepted a plea bargain. Stephen Beckley, he got 30 years. Orlando Hall actually got the death penalty, and Bruce Webster, which was the hitman, who they pretty much placed all the blame on for the killing, he got the death penalty too. And the reason why this is relevant now is because Orlando Hall was actually executed for her murder on November 19th, 2020. So a few days ago, he was actually executed. And the other one that was supposed to be executed, Bruce Webster, in June of 2019, they actually threw out the death sentence for him because he was, they ruled that he was intellectually disabled. So pretty much they're saying he didn't know what he was doing and he's not getting the death penalty now.
Wow. See, that's one of them cases where it's just like, it just all happened. Well, it always happens for no reason, but stuff like that, she was just there and y'all just kidnapped her and then killed her for however much money y'all got, drugs or whatever. It's just like, It's so stupid.
Right, and then you still end up, you end up not getting your money. You end up not getting the drugs, and you end up taking somebody's life, ruining a whole other family's life, and now you in prison, ruin your family's life. All over some BS. And now the brothers have to deal with that because they caused it. Like, this, it was a hit for them, and now their sister suffered and was tortured because of them. And then I later saw that the brothers, they still up to no good, because recently one of the brothers was arrested for drug trafficking in Virgin Islands again. So they didn't learn.
Crazy. I mean, some people just go down that path and can't really help it, but continue to go down that path. So it's unfortunate and it's sad when that happens and innocent lives are lost due to it.
Very sad.
Okay. Well, I don't think I've ever heard of that. So I think that was the first time I've heard of that case. I'm gonna look it up too, because I like to, even when I hear about a case, I like to still research it, because it's like I always find a different piece of information that I didn't know before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Some of them I get obsessed with. Like, I always have to check up and see, like, what's going on. Like, I got obsessed with the Chris Watts case. Like, I'm always checking to see, like, what's up. Because I'm still confused. I still don't understand, like, why he did it and what made him snap. It still don't make sense to me. So I'm always checking up to see, like, what he said or what new information came up.
Did you watch the documentary for that on Netflix?
I did. Yeah, I did watch the documentary, and I watched the movie on Lifetime, because Lifetime made a movie about it. Okay, Lifetime.
Yeah, I, like, last year when I was just watching all of the, I was on YouTube. I was super obsessed. One day I just was listening to podcasts about it. I was on YouTube watching the videos of his interrogations and everything. And it's like, it's definitely one of those where it does not make sense at all. And it's just like, is it just come down to him wanting to get a divorce and be with that other woman? It's just like, you do all that. You kill your kids and your wife because you no longer want to live your life with them. Like, that makes no sense whatsoever.
None whatsoever. That's what drew me into it too, because it was just like, it came out of nowhere, it seems like. He seemed like a normal person, like a sweet person. No one ever suspected him of doing it, and then he does it. So it's kind of like, damn, like, what made him do it? Like, right. Who can you trust?
Then he tried to blame her and say that she was the one that killed the kids, so that's why he killed her.
Right. And I'm just like, okay. But I feel like the investigator put that idea in his head, and he just ran with it.
Yeah.
So they just said that to try to get him to confess, and he was like, I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah, and that's
story.
Where he messed up, because he was just talking and just digging a hole bigger for himself, and that's how because he could have said, I want a lawyer, and I ain't about to say nothing.
He could have. Yeah, he definitely could have, but like, all the evidence is still pointed back at him regardless. So he was in deep as
wasn't well put together plan. Maybe mm-hmm. was, I don't know what they say, moment of passion, or
that's what he said at first, but then like when I dig deeper into it, he was planning on doing it. So I don't know if his mistress, Nikki, had anything to do with it. I kind of feel like she put the idea in his head. He seemed like a person that would, you know, do anything that the person he loves tells him to do.
Because even the way he would act, he, like in their videos, how she used to, what's her name? Shanann? Yeah, how she used to always record them on Facebook and stuff like that. In the videos, he just seemed like he was being phony, like he was just being that way just to look good for the videos for her. But in reality, he wasn't ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He seemed so unhappy. Like, it wasn't something he wanted to do. He was just going with it because that's what she wanted him to do. And he didn't want to hear her mouth, basically. He's like, let me just go with it. This is what she wants me to do. I don't want to hear her mouth. I'm going to do it. And that's pretty much probably how their entire marriage went. Like, I'm going to just do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm out to hear her.
And they was.
She seemed like she was like, yeah, like, she wore the pants.
Yeah, she definitely did. And I think that's what they were saying, too. And his family members said that about her. And they didn't really like her, probably because of that.
Well, shit, somebody got to take the lead.
Like, he wanted to be a little pushover or whatever.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely one of them cases that you can't help but get obsessed with, especially just seeing all the footage and... Yeah, especially like,
yeah, it's so with the times too, because there's so much, like, so many footprints of the whole thing, like her social media, her videos. Heartbreaking seeing her video was of her saying like how grateful she was to have him and how he basically saved her, and then he does this, and then like, so all of her footage, all of the I want to say dash cam, but not that. Mm-hmm. The cop camera thing. Whatever that's called. The footage from that. The neighbor's footage. Like, the whole thing is documented.
Yeah, and then how on the documentary, how they were showing her text messages and how she was just... She was really trying, and she was still, like, giving him chances to be a better husband. Like, that part is just really heartbreaking. And he just did what he did.
Right. Yeah, she was trying real hard. And that's just... He was just pretty much just tossing her to the side.
Basically, that's pretty much what he was... What he did and what he wanted to do.
Okay. Yeah, but when you really leave a relationship, just divorce.
Yeah, I'm so tired of this story, too. It's just... Every story is the same when it comes to these husbands and wives murdering each other. They didn't want to be in a relationship anymore. They met someone new. So that was their way to get out of it.
Yeah, I'm just going to kill him. That's how you get rid of that. Just kill him.
It's just stupid.
Like, what? How is that your instinct? How is that your decision?
Just... And then they don't even really be thinking it out. It just be.
Yeah. And they, like, do you know what's going to happen to you when you get caught? Like, what was the point?
No point. Now you.
They don't be thinking like they're going to get, like, do they think that they're not going to get caught? They think they're
going to get away. Yeah, they probably be thinking they're going to get away with it. That's probably what. Exactly what they be thinking.
Whew, now with 2020 technology.
I don't know. Everything is traced. If you somebody who be on the internet. Oh, and then another part that was really dumb on Chris Watts' part is when he took on the weekend when she was away, he went out to dinner and he used the card. Like, she's not going to be able to see that you spent all this money. Like,
yeah, like, you know, she controlled the bank account and she got text alerts on her phone. So when you spent that money, she looked at the total and she was like,
she said, she
no, not she for went one to person.
The menu and everything, said, what did you eat?
Period. For one, because she was already skeptical. So that right there, she was like, Because what did you eat that cost this much for one person?
Sis was knowing. She already knew what's up. And then She probably came home.
She recommended couples counseling. Like, she wanted to go to couples counseling. And he said he would go, but then later wouldn't go. Just like, damn. Leave me alone. Why are you still here at this point?
It shouldn't be that simple. If you don't want to be here, then just leave.
Yeah. It's that simple. And then he tried to say, like, oh, she said that she was going to take the girls and I would never see the girls again.
They always use that excuse.
Okay. So you were scared that she was going to take the girls and you'll never see them again. So you killed them. What?
That reminds me of another one, but I'm not even going to get into all that because it's just too much. These people out here, man, just no sense whatsoever. But I guess I should go ahead and get into my case that I would like to talk about. So I wanted to talk about Mytrese Richardson. So it's been a 10-year anniversary in August of this year. So this is one of those cases where it's just very odd. And so a lot of people, I feel like that's why a lot of people are very intrigued by it, because it's just so, it's one of those where you're just like, you don't really know what happened and it's still unresolved, but they of course want to say that it is resolved. So let's go ahead and just get a little bit into who she was. So she was born April 30th, 1985. She grew up in California. She was someone that they say was very talkative and loved and smart and just like an introspective person. So someone who was always just trying to find the answer for things and think deeply about subjects, stuff like that. And she was always in dance and cheerleading. She was also in a beauty pageant. So she was very beautiful, well-behaved throughout school. She went to Cal State Fullerton to study psychology. So I thought that was interesting too, because that's what I went to school for. So she just seems, you know, kind of relatable. Somebody I probably would like. So during that time in her life, when she was in college, she decided to come out as a lesbian. And her parents were very supportive of her when she came out. So that's good, because I know a lot of the times people have hard times with that. So, but I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe that was something that kind of, she just all the information that it's just so much information, and I'm trying to see how I'm going to even go get into it, but she just does seem like somebody who had problems or relationship problems. And I'm going to get into that, because I found some details. So pretty much the way her case is just really odd. So it just seems like she was in a very bad mental state when her situation happened. And that's probably what caused it.
Mm-hmm.
So once she graduated from college with her bachelor's degree, she was in a place where she was deciding what to do as far as if she was going to get her master's, and, you know, career-wise where she was headed. So she decided to move in with her great-grandmother, who was, I believe, 91 years old. So she was there helping her and just staying. I guess, oh, wow. You know, they said that she was just that type of person, very helpful. And so she lived with her grandmother. Her name was Mildred. And they used to do things like go out to eat. And they pretty much did that often. But one night when they were supposed to do that, they did not. So she decided to head out on her own. So this is
she stood Granny up.
Yeah, she did. And she obviously wasn't in her right mind. Yeah, so during this time.
So why would you say that she obviously wasn't in her right mind?
Oh, I'm about to get into it because.
Okay.
Just because her behavior, she stood Granny up. That's the first thing. Like, that wasn't normal for her to stick, you know, not hang out with Granny. So I'm just trying to find, I'm actually using this Los Angeles magazine article. It's titled "What Happened to My Therese Richardson," written by Mike Kessler. So I'm looking at some of the, because it's very detailed. It has a lot of details that I did not see on the documentary. So that's why I'm looking at it, because I feel like these are key details that y'all need. Otherwise, y'all not going to get the full picture.
Right.
So let me see. Where is it? Okay. So I forgot to mention also that she did start doing go-go dancing. So she became a go-go dancer on Friday nights. She just was somebody who loved to dance. As I said, she danced in high school and she was in cheerleading. So she ended up doing that. She took it very seriously. She had business cards for her go-go dancing. She used to be on the in the gay parade or gay pride parades. She was just very proud of, you know, just being herself and being a part of the LGBTQ community.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yes. So that's where, and that period in her life when she was doing that, she graduated, she was doing the dancing thing. And then she started doing the dancing thing. I said that already because I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. And she also was trying to do modeling and get her modeling back off the ground because she did that during school. So she did have a couple of girlfriends. And that's why I feel like she has some relationship issues. So maybe that was a part of her mental state and why it you know, got to the point that it was. Because I know a lot of different things come into play as far as, you know, a person's mind state, as far as how their life's going and how they're able to deal with it. So she met a girl named Vanessa, who had a girlfriend. And so that made Matrice want to, I guess, win her over. And at this point, she became obsessed with it. So it says, one night after her go-go job, Matrice drove solo to Las Vegas to join in Vanessa's birthday celebration. Eventually, Vanessa had to tell her to stay away. Matrice's behavior was becoming bizarre. She didn't talk on the phone as much. She posted frequent musings on MySpace at all hours. So before her missing, or before her becoming, or what am I trying to say? Before this situation happened when she became missing and then later found out to be dead. They don't know. They don't want to say that she was killed, but it just seems like she was. But we're gonna get into that and how that happened. Her behavior was becoming very bizarre. She was posting things on MySpace, things like This is something that she posted. Have you ever woke up 7 a.m. crying on a Saturday? Because now that you see the light, you see all the people lost in the dark. Welcome to my reality. So something was definitely off.
Yeah, that sounds depressing.
Yes. So I guess she did have some talks with friends about going to therapy. But as far as she could tell, and her friends could tell, she never really had any mental illness. But one of her ex-girlfriends named Tessa said that Maitrice wanted people to think that she had everything under control. And then so another thing that I want to mention that was pretty bizarre is that in the days leading up to her disappearance, Maitrice sent her mother a number of alarming and semi-decipherable text messages. So one was saying, "You have to tell me what's going on with you." Well, that's what her mom texts back. So her mother's name is Latisse. So they're having a conversation, and she's very concerned because she's not really understanding why she's texting her the things that she's texting her. So she says, "You've been somewhat elusive and philosophical. Tell me what's up. Have you found yourself in a state of sadness? Are you crying without reason or understanding? I'm concerned. Help me understand what's going on with you. Are you feeling lost, helpless, alone, rejected?" So obviously, Latisse.
Wait, her mom sent her that?
Yes. This is what her mom's sending her because she's becoming very concerned about her. And she's sending her text messages that she's not.
Is that the exact words? Why she sound like she pulling stuff from Google, copy and paste? Like, who talks to their kids like that? Like, she just maybe went, she googled depression, and she was like, copy paste.
Maybe she did, or maybe she just knows some stuff. Maybe she know.
It sounded so formal.
Mm-hmm. She got straight to the point. I need to know what's going on with you. So Maitrice replied, "I'm writing a book because you told me I can be anything I wanted. You told me I was Miss America. You told me I was America's next top model. Now, do you know what I want to be when I grow up? Miss Mother Nature. Because Miss America is a fake-ass joke along with everything else we see. So I'm trying to find my way to Michelle Obama to see if she will talk to Mr. Obama about creating my position within the White House."
Oh.
So that's what Maitrice said. So her mother was like, call me immediately because you are not making any sense at all.
Yeah.
And then so she says, Maitrice responds, "I feel joy, mommy. Not everyone has to die to live. I heard in the Bible, Jesus dies so we can live forever. Now I have to prove the unlogic." So.
Girl, what?
She's
obviously bizarre.
Her mother was very concerned, like, what is going on? Okay, so that was what's going on the days leading up to this, her disappearance. So I wanted to go into details in that just so you can get an understanding of where she was, how she was acting around this time. So the night that everything happened, so like I said, she did not go out with her great-grandmother like she usually does. She decided to go on her own. So she takes a drive down to Malibu, which I believe is, I think, 60 miles away from where she lives or her area. So she takes the drive down there and ends up at this restaurant. So she gets there and they only have a valet. So the valet is trying to assist her, and she ends up getting out of her car and going into the valet's car. So the valet is like, "What are you doing? Why are you in my car?" And she says something like, some gibberish or whatever. And so he gets her out of the car and into the restaurant. So on this part, I'm not really clear because I've heard two different things. So I've heard that she went up to a group of people who are already sitting down eating, starts talking to them, says things like she's from Mars, and that she's trying to...
Oh my gosh.
Yes, that she's trying to avenge Michael Jackson's death.
So. Let me stop you real quick. Have you ever seen the show Ratchet?
Mm-mm.
Okay. It's a show on Netflix, and it's called Ratchet. It's kind of like American Horror Story. Like I believe it's the same writer, but I'm not too sure. But it's the same actress. And there's a character on there that she's reminded me of. I can't remember the lady's name, but she is reminding me of that character. And there, she's in a mental hospital. That's what it's about, a mental hospital.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about too, because I think it recently got on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Nurse Ratched.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna check it out.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, she goes into the restaurant and she orders an Ocean Breeze cocktail and a Kobe steak. So I guess she did already order her food before she went and sat down with the group of people. So she orders her food, a cocktail, and starts eating. And that's when she sees the table of seven that's, you know, talking and in conversation. So she goes over there and joins them.
Joins them.
So she goes over there
and joins them.
And so they're just like, she's, like I said, she's just saying weird things to them, saying she's from Mars, and says that how she's wanting to settle her debt with sex. Hold on, wait, rewind. I said that too quick. I wasn't supposed to say that yet. Okay, so yeah, she's sitting there with the people. The people eventually leave. Because of course they weren't with her, so her tab ends up coming to be about $89, and she pretty much thought that the people that she was sitting with were going to take care of her order. So she's emptying her pockets and saying she doesn't have any money, and so at that point they decide to call the police. So they call the police and just say that pretty much that she sounds really crazy and she may be on drugs or something, and she's refusing to pay her bill. So the sheriffs, they pretty much are like, okay, we'll be down there or whatever. And then so while they're waiting for the sheriffs to come, Maitreese told the hostess that she'd been watching a soap opera at work when God instructed her to take the afternoon off. She was telling people that she had no parents, and that she just only had her great-grandmother, Mildred. So that's what prompted the hostess to call Mildred to see if she'll be able to go ahead and pay for the order. But since the restaurant required a signature and she was, you know, 91 years old, that wasn't really possible. So, around 9 p.m., the police showed up. They pretty much took her out there to see if she was drunk. She did the breathalyzer thing, and they, you know, deemed that she wasn't drunk. So they ended up going to her car to get her cell phone and her money and her wallet, because that's where she told them that it was. And while they were looking in her car, they found marijuana scraps and partially finished bottles of booze. So at that point, they arrested her.
Not bottles of booze.
So they arrested her and they left her purse and cell phone in the car and they towed her car. And that's weird because don't they usually let you take your stuff and then they put it in like a bag or something?
So they arrested her because they didn't find any money or because of the marijuana
Because of the
issue.
marijuana.
Okay.
So,
When was this?
huh?
When was this?
This happened in 2009.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, 2009. Yeah, so they took her to jail, which was about 13 miles away. By this time, since they called her grandmother Mildred, her that of course was alarming to her, so she called my Latisse, which is Mitrice's mother. So Mitrice's mother, Latisse, calls the station to see what's going on. She really wanted to know if they were going to be releasing her, because if so, she could start driving up there because it would have been like a 45-minute drive. So she wanted to know if they were going to release her then or if they were going to wait till the morning. So the officer that she spoke to told her that she was going to be staying there overnight, basically. And her mother, Latisse, was very concerned because it was a very dark area. She was just like, and what's crazy is on the call, she was like, "Well, you know, I just don't want nothing to happen to her. It's very dark, and you know, I wouldn't want her to get murdered or something like that."
What?
That's what the mother said. And he was like, "Oh no, we're going to keep her here. We don't have any plans on. You could just give us a call in the morning or whatever." So, come to find out, they did release her at about 12:30. So, like, I guess like a 30 minutes to an hour after they had that conversation with her, they ended up letting her go.
Oh, wow.
So they let her go. She didn't have all Only thing she had was her ID, and her keys. So supposedly they say that they offered her a ride. Well, I don't know if they offered her a ride, but they offered her for her to stay because they said that they didn't have no reason to keep her.
Oh,
But
my
it's like,
gosh.
why did y'all arrest her then?
Yeah, why did you
That's
arrest her? Especially if there's concerns about her mental state, why you just let her out? And you spoke with someone and you told, girl, what?
Yeah, that's the part that is just so weird. So one of the things, like you said, if there's someone who doesn't seem to be in a good mental state, it's called the law enforcement pretty much calls it a possible 5150. So at that point, if the officer deems that the individual might be a danger to oneself or others, they are supposed to have a 72-hour psychological evaluation. So I don't know why they didn't decide to do that. I guess in their report, I guess they mentioned that she wasn't intoxicated and she seemed fine. So they let her go. So the mother, Latisse, ends up calling at 5 in the morning to see, to check up and see what's going on. That's when she finds out that they let her go at 12:30 that night or that morning. So of course she's upset because they told her that they were going to be, leaving her
Keeping her,
there.
yeah.
And then, so she talks to the officer and he's just like, "Well, and then she wants to know, when should she file a missing report, because she hasn't received a call from her or anything. She doesn't know where she's at." And so he's pretty much, "Wait 24 hours. It's too soon." Pretty much not taking it seriously. So she's like, "Okay." And then while this is happening, like I believe it was an hour later, so an hour after she called at like 6:30, a man calls and says that he saw Maitreese in his backyard. So he called and told them, "Hey, I just seen this lady in my backyard. she was just sitting down, and I yelled out to her to see if she was okay. But she just responded something like, "I'm just resting." So where this is located is about 6 to 8 miles from the police station. So it's just like, okay, how does she get all the way over there? Yeah. And so, and then he just described her, he described the lady. And so that's why they thought it was her. So they go out there to check, and they didn't find anything. And then, so later that night, when it's been the 24 hours, the mom reports the missing persons report. And that's when she finds out that this man possibly saw her. It's like, it's been 12 hours already since it's happened, and nobody told her anything, and she's barely out. So, of course, she's upset about that, because she's just not understanding why, you know, they've been so, like, careless about the whole situation and just negligent about it. Mm-hmm. So they start doing their own search that doesn't really lead up to anything. And then I believe the police, they took the dog in the area where the neighbor or the man said that he seen her. And I guess the dog was able to sniff traces of her, but that really didn't lead to anything. So pretty much it's just nothing. Matrice is nowhere to be found. And pretty much a year goes by, and that's when they find her skull. So, and prior to that, there was some sightings of her, supposedly, which was kind of weird. People thought they saw her in Las Vegas. They thought that she was a prostitute on the street. So that was one of the things that a lot of people were talking about, that was one of the reasons why the police probably felt that it wasn't a homicide. They just thought it was she just missing, or she just went away or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Or she's on drugs or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on drugs. And so like I said, a year passed. So in August of 2010, that's when they found her remains. So pretty much the area that she was found in is like one of the areas where they grow marijuana. So they were out there, I guess, checking on that. And then that's where they found her skull, and then found a naked woman's body. Wow. Yeah, so they pretty much are just saying, oh, it must have been an accident, or the animals got to her. When they found her body, they didn't really, I believe they did the dental records to confirm that it was her, but they didn't really treat it like a crime scene like they should have, as far as getting all the evidence in the area, just so that they could really do their due diligence to make sure that it, or to rule out that it was a homicide. They just automatically went with, oh, it was accident, oh, mm-hmm. it was animals that did it to her. But it's like her clothing was missing, and so it's like an animal can't do that. Like, most likely someone did that to her,
right?
So pretty much that's how her family feels, that they didn't really do the job. They really didn't do what they could to find out, you know, what happened to her, and why did they even let her go out there in the first place? Because the area was just like hills and like mountains and ranches, basically. And like, so it's just not an area for someone to just be walking in. So her mom thinks that someone picked her up, raped her and murdered her, and then put her in that area. And then also, I was watching a documentary, and they were saying that they did find like a, what is it called? What do they call it? They think that she was buried somewhere that was kind of not too far from that man's house that he said he saw her at.
Mm-hmm.
And then they think that
they moved her.
Yeah, they moved her because they thought they was getting too close to her or they were going to find her body. So they had moved her, and that's how she ended up all the way over there in a different area. So this is just, it's just so crazy to me because it's just like, what the heck? It's just so wrong in so many ways because they should have definitely... Yeah.
There's so much mishandling.
Yeah, she should have definitely had some type of psychological evaluation because clearly she was not in her right mind. Just the things she was saying, what she was doing, mm-hmm. It wasn't her being intoxicated. So yeah, it's been 10 years. The 10-year anniversary was in August, and that's what made me want to talk about this one. And I also seen some seen her case being talked about on like ID channel, so that's what like recently got my attention to it again, because it's just really, really crazy. And
definitely, I don't know, I feel like those are huge mishandling. I don't know why police don't have better communication, like with each other and also like with family members and stuff like that, because mm-hmm. who just let, like, if you bring somebody in and someone's saying like, oh, I think they may be going through a mental episode or something like that, how are you just gonna let her walk out?
Right,
like, I get it, she's an adult, but you just don't let people walk out. And then the fact that no one communicated with the mom that they may have seen her out there is just, damn, like 12 hours later, and she could have known that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be like a new system, like a database, like something where you upload everything into one database and everybody can log into it and see it, something.
Right, because they don't communicate, and it was clear because when she had called back in the morning to see what was going on, the officer that she was talking to didn't know anything. She had to explain to him that she was at their station because he was acting like he didn't know. And I'm like, there's no way you can look up her name and just see, oh, this person was arrested for this and then released at this time. And you should be able to look up that information. And he had to ask her, he was asking her all these questions. Like, they don't have no type of communication in there.
Right, yeah. You would think, with all of our communication ways that we have today, that they could be better, but...
Yeah, so, I mean, this was in 2009, so hopefully we've advanced a lot since then.
Mm.
As far as their technology goes, and how they keep up with this type of information. So yeah, the parents of her, of Maitrice, of course they've been trying to like change the policy and make sure that they do use that police code, the 5150. So if someone really does need that psychological evaluation for 72 hours,
mm-hmm.
they definitely need to do that, because it could have helped Maitrice, and she probably would still be here today if they
could have saved her life.
Yeah. Yep. So then this is a Black woman. So
yeah.
Also, why there's I wanted to talk about it. They don't care about us.
They really don't. They really don't. They just like automatically assumed. I bet you they automatically assumed she was on drugs.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what they did. Said she's acting crazy and she's on drugs. So rest in peace to Maitrice Richardson and Lisa Renee.
Yes, rest in peace. Ooh. And Shanann and the girls.
Yes.
Yes. That kind of got my spirits low.
I know, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Because it's like a hanger. Like, you don't know what happened to her.
Right, that's why it's just, and then you gotta look her up and see her. She is very beautiful, and she was only like 24 years old.
Oh wow! How you spell her name?
Mitrice, Mitrice Richardson.
Oh wow, she was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Straight beauty queen.
That's so sad. I wonder, like, what triggered her. That's crazy, because, like, sometimes, like, you can be perfectly fine, and then it's just onset at a certain age. And then, boom, you have a mental disorder.
Yeah, that's why I want to do some more research on it, because something tells me maybe it was just, maybe her life wasn't going the way she wanted. I know that could be hard on people, and then her relationships, breakups could be really hard on people.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel like maybe it was relationship related. And then I don't know, something kind of tells me that maybe her and her mother didn't have the best relationship. Just for the simple fact that she moved in with her great grandmother, and then she didn't call her mother at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she called her grandmother, and then I want to say she called an aunt as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I would feel like that too, because number one, the way that her mother was addressing her in the text message was just so formal. Like, it didn't seem like they had a relationship. And then number two, she went off and she was like, oh, I don't have parents. I don't have a family. I just have my grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that's kind of off.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she just felt pressured to be perfect. Or something like that. I don't know. I'm just speculating now.
Yeah. That's sad.
Yeah. Miss, want to do true crime?
I want to do another one. I want to look into another one.
Okay. Another true crime one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, we can make this a thing, you know. But yeah, I love true crime as well. I have a unhealthy obsession with watching documentaries and listening to different podcasts on different cases. It's scary stuff. It really can be scary.
It's scary. I don't think it's unhealthy to look into it, because it's kind of like you're aware of like what can happen, how things can happen. So it makes you aware and alert.
That's very true. I just meant like watching that type of stuff all the time could probably affect your mood.
That's true. Now I need to think about something happy. Like happy hour. Some drink a drink.
Some drinks. Well, you know, since that's what we finna go do, you know, this is real time. We have plans to go hang out and do some friend stuff.
Yay!
So
we don't get to do that.
We really don't, especially with this quarantine and everything that's been going on. So
yeah, so I'm trying to get out this house, because I know coming here soon we're about to be locked back down.
Mm-hmm. I can feel it.
It's about to be cold and depressing, so might as well get it out while we can.
Right, it's gonna be gloomy outside.
We're gonna be looking out the window. I thought we could go out there.
It used to be fun.
It used to be so lit. I went out. I went to the club this weekend, and it's very, very different. So they just treat it like it's a restaurant. So you have to stay seated. You have to stay in your section. You can't like be walking around and lingering around. Like you can walk to the bathroom and walk back, but you can't just like lingering around like you normally do at a club. So mm-hmm. like the entire middle of the dance floor is clear, it's empty, and you can only be seated in your section.
Yeah, that doesn't do it for me.
No, it's only fun if you have like a bigger group of people with you. It's like a small group, it's not really fun.
Yeah, but see, I like to, especially if we're gonna be drinking, I like to get up and dance.
Mm-hmm.
So I just be like,
when I went to international, like they didn't let you stand up at all. But this weekend when I went to Pretty Please, this one was a little different because they do let you stand up and dance in your section. You just can't be like out in the middle of the dance floor standing up in the middle.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. At least they let you do that, move around.
Yeah, because when we went to brunchish, they was like, sit your ass down.
Anytime they sensed the tap of the foot or anything, it was
like, sit your ass down. And I was like, damn, why did you call us here? What did you want us to do?
Okay, what was the point of this? They just wanted our money with that nasty food.
Yep, the food was gross. It was disgusting.
But when things get back regular, I might come check y'all out.
Yeah, it was fun before all these regulations and rules that I feel like are pointless, but I'm not the CDC. I don't make the rules.
Right. And then they be saying that the masks don't even really help. It's like, what is it?
Yeah, I've heard that. Well, I heard it's only effective if everyone's wearing a mask. It's not as effective if you're wearing a mask and someone else isn't. But if you're both wearing masks, then that's like the most effective.
Oh, okay.
But I'm wearing my mask regardless because I ain't taking a risk.
Right. I'll just, yeah. And, that's making me also nervous because of my birthday in January. And I don't know if we're going to be on lockdown.
That's true.
What's going to be going on?
No telling. So we don't know what we're looking at, but at least we have an idea since we've already been through it. We have an idea so we can prepare better for it.
Right. Hopefully they don't go crazy and take all the tissue again.
Girl, what was the point? What was the reason?
That was so stupid.
They was like, oh my God, we're going to be shut down. I have to wipe my ass. Like, the first thought is like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, we're going to be on lockdown for 2 weeks. No, wait. How long was it? They left us down for originally? I don't know. 6 weeks, whatever. It'll just don't make sense that your first instinct is to buy a toilet paper and fight over it.
Yeah, that was really eerie going into the store and seeing all the empty shelves. That was really weird. Weird times.
Yes, that was giving me Hands Made Tales vibes.
For real, for real.
All the empty tissue, the food, the cleaning supplies.
Right. It was the tissue and the cleaning supplies for me being gone.
Yeah, I just like, what? It was the ramen noodles being gone for me because I was like, what? Everything is just gone.
Right, everything. Mm-mm. The chicken wings, but they left the drumsticks. Yeah.
All the frozen food was gone. They left the drumsticks.
Like, we don't like drumsticks, but we're going to get these wings.
Girl. I need to go grocery shopping, too.
What a time. It's been interesting.
But at least we don't have to worry about, like, working and stuff, because the opportunity to work from home is available, so.
Yes, and that's been lovely.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
It's amazing. And that's all the more reason why we could try to be get out the house a little bit.
Yeah, because we're in the house 24/7. We can't even go to work. We can't leave the house to go to work. So I just wanted to be over. I want to go back to our normal lives.
Right, me too. I'm completely over this quarantine year. This is I read something on Twitter and it was like, ain't nobody talk about 2021 finna be my year. They said we already know
that 2020 finna trickle right on over to 2021. So there ain't even no point of
right. Ain't no nothing. New Year's resolutions.
Oh man. Our New Year resolution is to get out of this damn pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully with this new president, he can get in here, get us right. Get us all on the same schedule, I guess, when it comes to quarantine. Because when we did it the first time, everybody was like doing it at different times, which also didn't make sense, but
right.
Hopefully we'll all get together as a country. Maybe we could get on China's level, but I doubt it. But 2020. I don't want this in 2022. I don't want this. This is miserable. No. Like, I can see how the people in the Great Depression were.
Right. It's just, it's very greatly depressing.
Yeah.
Everything.
Oh, and I saw, like, you know how it's the holidays. There is a story where this lady, she accidentally texted this guy. She thought it was her grandson and she was texting and she invited him to the Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, oh, I'm not your grandson, but can I still get a plate? And then she was like, yeah, you can still get a plate. So he came and they do a tradition every year. And now he goes and visits them every Thanksgiving and has dinner with them. But this year, her husband actually passed away from COVID.
Yep, so I read like, that.
Yeah, so like they're over taking the joy out of everything.
Yeah, that story is so sad. But I saw that they still got together this year. So.
I did see that. I was like, wow. They are so sweet.
Yeah. It's very sweet. Damn you, COVID.
COVID, I hate her. That's all I gotta say. Because I said it last year, too. I was like, on my New Year's post, I was like, 2020 is about to be my year. And then 2020 said, no, it's not. 2020 said, right? Who did that? And I was just like, me. I was like, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay, not gonna happen.
They said try 2022 because 2021 ain't gonna be it either.
See, man, I'm trying not to speak that into existence. I mean, I know it in the back, I know it in my mind, but I'm just hoping that, man, I don't know, some type of miracle happens. And it's not like, oh, everyone has to take a vaccine to survive.
How many people are really willing to take the vaccine? Because I'm not. I don't even get the shot. I'm showing. So.
Me neither. No, I remember I went to the doctor and they was trying to basically force me to get the flu shot. I'm like, no, I'm fine. Thank you. Are you sure? You can get a discount. And
yeah, my doctor, she kind of tried to force it on me too, but not too heavy. I just told her. She asked me about 3 times. And she's like, are you sure? I was like, no, I don't want it. It's going to make me sick anyway, so what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they get money for that.
Yeah, it's like upselling. They're upselling the product.
Get us to do it.
They like the laser people that keep on calling me.
I'm good.
Like, y'all really trying to upsell this shot.
I say it's
like, girl, come in here and get this laser. Give us your money now. Shit, I'll be
come in now. We do it for free.
Did you call me? I'm here with my free laser. Give it to me. I can make time.
Since you said free, I could be there. Oh, looks like my
schedule just freed up for the day. That's how they keep calling, like they're trying to give me something. I'm just like, can you stop? I don't like aggressive sales techniques. Like, if I want it, I will let you know.
Right, I don't like that either.
In my business, because I don't want to do that to people, but we'll see.
Right, that's my thing about businesses. I don't like anyone to bug
people. I know a lot of people don't.
Yeah, when I be seeing people like promoting they business or their music and they tag like 100 people in it. You gonna see this post.
Y'all just ain't gonna see it because.
Right. I'll be like, I'll post stuff. Like,
I'll post something else later. Maybe they'll see that.
Hope for the best. The next person.
But when I first started going to Laser Away, they asked me to leave a review because apparently they gave me a quote unquote discount, but whatever. I feel like it was a price they just settled. So they asked me to do a review and I did, and then I was just writing like, oh, they have really aggressive sales techniques. And then when I went back in for when I went in for my appointment, they addressed me about it. I was like, She was like, oh, why did you feel that way? Why did you say that we have sales techniques? Oh, would you delete that? I was like, no. Girl, no, leave me alone. And then they continue to try to tell me stuff every time I come in. They're like, you want Botox? You want cool sculpting? I'm like, no. Leave me alone before I leave another review.
They ain't learned nothing. Like, take the review.
I did not think they would contact me about it. I was just like, what? Yeah, she's like, oh.
That's unprofessional.
Take that shit.
So I saw the review you left. You said what?
Like, no.
I'll show you.
I couldn't believe it. I was just like, no, I'm not gonna take it down. Yeah. I was like, what? I ain't gonna lie.
That's awkward too.
And plus, you don't tell me what to say, I say what I wanna say. I'm paying. You're not getting. Right. So I'm gonna say what I want to say. Now, if you want to give me some services for a review, then you know I'll say what you want me to say.
All right. Give me the script. That's a different case. Totally different. Laser Way was great. I had the best.
They're just awesome, so sweet, and they're always on it. They offer me great products all the time when they have new stuff.
They're always on top of it. They never let me miss a deal.
Laser Way, you want to sponsor this podcast? We got an ad for you.